And just wanted to, we've been hitting some hard stuff, deep stuff lately, and took a little turn on this one, and we just want to talk about the good things from God that we forget. And I can tell you, and I don't want to always be just building on my own past experiences, but I haven't been able to drive for weeks, and I still can't. I'm not allowed to drive till November. And it's frustrating. You just want to be able, you don't think about these things, you take them for granted, and then one day you're told you can't drive. And it's like, you know, for how long? Oh, 6 weeks, seven, we'll see. I never like we'll see. That's, you know, my parents used to say it, my daddy, I said, what about whatever? We'll see. Can I have whatever? We'll see. That really meant no. You know, and any time you got a maybe, well, you know, what could I have this or whatever? Maybe, or we'll see. That's the end of it. It'll never happen. And so, you translate that to, you know, when a doctor says, we'll see, it's like, oh, okay, that ain't going to happen. All right, so when is it going to happen? But I got a letter, and, the surgeon I have is a really super, super, super guy. And developed a relationship, and anyway, he sent a letter for me, and he said in there that if there are no complications, and if you keep gaining weight, and if everything goes right, then on November the 3rd, I'll take that tube out, and on November the 3rd, your restriction from driving will be lifted. So, pray hard for me. Still got another week and a half to go. And it's just really hard when you have no mobility. You can't lift anything over 10 pounds, you know, and this has gone on and on. And I start to do it because I'm just so used to it. You know, you want to lift lifting your trash out of the container. And you start to do it, and it's like, I can't do that. I can't lift that. Are there just things out? I go walking every morning, and you see a limb, I'm going to break that limb off. It's sticking out in the road. It's like, don't pull on that. And it's like, you know, and then you go through all that and you can't drive, can't do, you know, feel helpless. And then one of the things that begins to come through is don't take any of this for granted anymore. When you get it back, don't just take it for granted. Thank me for it every day. And I tell you, that's one of the things that's coming out of this for me. One of the many things is, when you get behind that wheel again, and you get in that pickup and you take off when you're allowed to do that again, you thank me for it. And I wonder, and this is not to make anybody feel bad, it's just a question for all of us. Do we thank him that we can drive? Do we thank him that our vehicle's running? Do we thank him that nobody ran over us on the way to church? Really, do we thank him for these things we take for granted? And it's like when you get in this condition, you get in this shape, I drop something on the floor, I can't pick it up. And so my sister's, my brother-in-law, her husband, he sent me a little stick thing, a little grabby thing with a handle, you know. And man, I tell you what, I'm going to do all kinds of things once I'm healed with that, you know. And I'm going to walk around if anybody's sleeping in church and nip them with that thing. But anyway, and so I can pick up stuff on the floor, and you know, I can pick it up, and then I can get it. But it's like, Lord, you know, and I really don't thank you for my personal mobility. I mean, God's always given me enough athletic ability, and played ball, and did all these things, and all the military stuff, and you know, never had any difficulty. No bending down, getting down, getting up, and now. It's like, you want to thank me for these things and not take it for granted anymore? And so I'm sharing that because it's a lesson for all of us. It's like, thank the Lord you can get out of bed. I have to roll over on my side and push up with my arms still and sit up and get out of bed. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting better, and I mean, it's getting better and better, but that gets old. It really gets old, and if I do something the wrong way, it lets me know real quick, and it's like, thank me that you can get up. Thank me that you can now take a shower. Thank me for all these things. You know, it's like, Lord, get this tube out of me. This thing, just riding with someone makes that so irritated. It's irritated for a couple of days after I ride with it, you know, just right, just the jolts down the highway. And it's like, God, get this tube out. And it's like, you're going to be grateful to me when I do? And it's like, I wonder if things have to happen to us to make us wake up and realize that we're taking a whole bunch of things for granted that we ought not. We complain and want more and more and more, but golly, we have so much, right? And a simple thing like driving your vehicle, we don't even think about, but God does. And I just wonder how many times He's tapping us on the shoulder saying, you want to thank me for that? I know a lot of you probably like to have a different vehicle, and vehicles, you have to order them. I don't know. Everything's a mess, you know, and it's so expensive, and with economy and all, and you know, like a new truck or a new car, whatever it is, and yet God's saying, well, thank me for the one you have. They begin thanking me for and praising me and realizing how special you are to me, and let me be that special to you. A lot of good things start happening in your life. I'm seeing that. It's like, you know, Tony, quit griping and complaining. I know it hurts. It gets irritated. I have to do things that I don't want to do, you know, and have to clean around that. It's, you know, and it's like, golly, Lord, this is... And it's like, you're alive, aren't you? You're able to do it. And one day you won't have to do it, but will you remember this? Every time now... From now on, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every time from now on, when I take my shirt off, I'm going to be reminded that God saved my life. And to be grateful to Him, I may have a bunch of scars, but at least I'm alive to see them. You know it? And a bunch of you have emotional scars, and you're alive to experience them too. You think about that. We've all suffered emotional pain, and we've all gone through some terrible stuff. But that serves to remind us of what it could be, what it used to be, but it's not now. And thank God for it. I thank God for lots of things I haven't been thanking Him for in the past. I guarantee you. And I appreciate it. And I'll tell you something else. I've learned to thank Him that I can eat real food again. I went a week... A little over a week, and nothing could touch my mouth. No water, no food, nothing. And this feeding machine. And it's like the first time that I got to open my mouth after a week later and taste some food, it was hospital food. But it tasted so wonderful. I thought, they have the best cafeteria in this hospital I have ever seen. Now, then when I started eating it after a couple of days, it was like, this stuff's terrible. And then the Lord was reminding me, yeah, what were you thinking a couple of days ago when you hadn't had a bite of food for a solid week? Yeah. So there's things we complain about. And it's like, I think we better stop that and start thanking Him for what we have and all He does. Anyway, I don't want to ramble. I left a passage out that's not going to be up here, and I'm going to read it to you before we get into this text. Because it's so important and plays into this. And I was wondering, why did you leave that out? And it's like, I don't know, but I did. So I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to hear it. And then we'll get in. It leads us into the message. And we know this passage. It's in 1 Peter. I'm using New King James, by the way. I've been using New American Standard to introduce you to that. But I'm back on the New King James today. And so 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, it reads like this. It says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we read that and brought messages on it in the past. And yet, I don't know if we truly recognize or get it what He's saying. He says, His own special people. What's He saying? We're God's own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You realize what this is saying? You realize that before you were born, God destined you? You're chosen. And we won't get into predestination and Calvinism and all that kind of stuff. Simply say to you that you would not be in this church this day, in this church building, this facility, And you're the church, the building's not. Your body is the temple living God, so we are the church. But you wouldn't be here if God hadn't chosen you to be here. And you would never have known Jesus Christ if God hadn't chosen you to know Him. His Holy Spirit could have avoided you altogether and let you waste away and end up in the fires of hell. And God reached out and chose you and said, it's time for you to be born on this earth. And it's not taught enough. It's not brought enough to us where we get this thing. It's like, you're chosen. What does that mean? He selected you. And you might look at your life and say, me? With all the mess ups I've done, has anybody in here ever felt like that you're God's chosen mess up? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Okay. If you look around when you raised your hand, a whole bunch of hands went up. So from now on, you'll know you're not alone in thinking that you're His chosen mess up. Some of you ever feel like no matter what you do, it never works and it falls in on your head? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. No matter how hard you try. You know, you go buy a lottery ticket and you pay the money saying, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm not going to win. You know, and you don't. But somebody will. I wonder what would happen if you ever thought, I'm going to win today. I'm going to make it today. I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to, not just the lottery, but anything. I'm going to come out of this day and I'm going to be on top of it. The devil is not going to kick me like he usually does. I'm not going to let him. I'm going to rebuke him every moment of the day. And yet, here we are, and he says, God chose you, so you're not his chosen mess up. God chose you. And he put you together in your mother's womb. And he said, we're marvelously, wonderfully and marvelously made. He knitted you together, and he gave you your body size, your bones, your organs, your blood, everything. And he destined a time for you to be born, and he's got a time for you to go and go to heaven. I just wonder why we worry so much about these things in between when God's got this all the time in his hands. Through these surgeries, I went through a lot. In this second one, I went into panic, and I've told you that. And I went into panic mode. Something hit me emotionally after this last one, and I came out of it, and I panicked. I was afraid I was dying, and I went through a real hard time. And I really went through trauma. It felt like I was there for a while. And I thought, two surgeries in a little over 2 months, this is bad. And that emergency surgery, they scared me on that one. I've shared that with you. But it you don't realize, and I've emphasized, how long it's taken me to really overcome, to get past the emotional trauma of that whole thing. And it really, really, for the first time in my life, I knew a fear I'd never known. You know, the fear wasn't just of dying. The fear was of being messed up to where somebody would have to take care of me the rest of my life. That's what I was afraid of. That's what I was worried about. But Tony, what if you can't walk after this? What if you can't eat? What if you can't, and somebody's going to have to, they're going to have to hook you up to something the rest of your life? And boy, I got scared because I've been so independent, so out there. And think about it. For 40 years, I've been taking care of everybody else. Everybody. I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. I care for. I counsel. I work. I do funerals. I do marriages. It's over and over. I'm used to giving and doing for everybody else. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at is there a possibility I'm not going to ever be able to do that again? I had to come to that to develop a gratefulness to God and to see His mighty hand and His healing power. And to see that God is saying, I let you have those feelings. And I let you experience complete panic. And you know what? The Lord is finally, He's revealing to me, and there'll be a bunch more come from this. I'm letting you see your own mortality. You never thought about anything like this ever happening to you, did you? No. Now you've realized what being a human really is. Now you're realizing that all you've been doing for people all these years, they're doing for you. And you don't like it, do you? No. Because it's so ingrained to give and to do. And now I have to, you know, there's my daughter there at the house, Christy. Can you pick that up? You know, I've got my little thingy, but I drop this, I drop a glass or whatever. Can you get that? I hate it. And yet the Lord is saying, yeah, I'm teaching you, boy. I'm giving you some humility here. And you see, this isn't about me. This is about God and all of us. Don't get mad at God when he's teaching you things like this. Because if this has to happen in your life, it had to happen. He's teaching. He had to teach you something and you weren't getting it. And accept it. And as the old, you know, the old military expression, learn to roll with it. Learn to roll with it. That's what you got to do in life. And you learn to roll with it and accept that God's teaching me something through this. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. That means we're above it all. He chose you to be above the crowd. He chose you to receive His Holy Spirit. He chose you to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what a royal generation is. He made you royalty. Do you realize that? You're the son of the King, the living God, the Almighty God. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a daughter right here. You're a son of Almighty God. You are a brother, a sister to your Savior, the King Jesus. You're one of His family. Willing to live like it. Don't be defeated. We're not here to walk with our heads down and be depressed and upset all the time. You are children of the living God. You're royal family. This is priesthood stuff. It says you're His a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. I don't know why I didn't put this up there. I'm sorry I didn't. But anyway, you can jot it down. In His own special people, so you can show, you know, proclaim the praises of God. You were not a people, but you are now. You've obtained mercy. So let's get into our first point. You're God's chosen children. You know, you, and it says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. And this is what God had to hit me with. Why are you afraid? Why are you letting your mind run away with itself and making up stories that, okay, I'm going to be all messed up the rest of my life? What if? What if? Do you ever play that game on yourself? What if this doesn't work out? What if this happens? What if this happens? And you get like little chicken little, the sky's falling in. And you're running and ducking everything. And then it hit me and how God works here. And all of a sudden, you know, the Lord comes through and saying, I'm not telling you these things. I didn't put that fear in you. I didn't tell you to be afraid you're going to be messed up and somebody have to take care of you the rest of your life. The devil's doing that. Your own head's doing that. You're listening to the enemy and he's lying to you. He's writing a story for your life, and if you're not careful, you'll start living out that story. And friends, that's what's happened to a whole lot of God's people. The devil writes a story in your mind and you start living it out. I'm a loser. I can't win. Bad things always happen to me. Well, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. And he wants you to start acting and thinking and living. Bad things are going to happen to you. This is never going to work out. Does anybody in here struggle with that kind of thinking? Okay, thanks. Anybody else? Others? Yeah. And you're just convinced that bad stuff's always going to happen no matter what. You know, I got this great dream, this plan. But God says you're royal, you're chosen, you're special. And he's saying you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So if you have fear, I had fear. And I had to realize, Tony, you get up here and you bring these messages. You got to set an example. But right now you're so caught up in fear. And I was. You can't help anybody. What's wrong with you? The enemy's lying to you. He's taking trauma. He's got you on all those medications. I was so doped up. And the enemy will use that. And he'll put thoughts in your mind. And before you know it, I was living it out. I was thinking it out. Oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen. And it's like, did God tell you that? No, God didn't tell me anything even close to that. The enemy did. The enemy's using something that's happened to you, a trauma in your life, to take you out. Are you going to stand against him in Jesus' name and say, I refuse to buy into this. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. God, my body is the temple of the living God. And here's the hard part. My body's God's temple. I don't own me. He does. And if he wants to cut a big chunk out of me, I guess he can. That's really tough, but I mean, in the long run, isn't it true? If he doesn't want all the parts that were there before, I guess he can remove them. And it's like, don't take too many, okay? Have you gotten enough? You know, but you know, and it gets kind of, and then it got humorous to me. But isn't it true? If we talk about our bodies being his temple, yet if he wants to do anything with his temple, we get so upset. And he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I thought, you're not doing a good job of that right now, are you? And I had to tell myself and answer God, no, I'm not. I'm caught up in a bondage to fear. And God said, I didn't give it to you. It's right there in Romans 8, 15 through 17. And I'll just read the whole thing. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So if you have fear, it's not from God. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And it's like, Tony, why aren't you saying Abba, Father? In the Greek, that means dear, precious, sweet Father. Well, why aren't you saying my sweet, precious Father? Instead of saying, oh God, well, you know, I messed up. I'm going to... And it said, that isn't from me. Why aren't you just praising me as your loving Father who would never do a harmful thing to you at all? Life just happens. And he said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since you actually have experienced the Spirit of God speaking to you and saying, you are a child of the living God? Nothing happens but that God doesn't know about it. And anything that occurs in your life, even if it's painful, God allowed to teach you something through it. Do you hear God's Spirit speaking to you in your heart, in your mind, through the Scripture? If you don't, ask yourself, what have I been saying or doing that's grieving the Holy Spirit? And get it confessed. Get it out of your system. Get it right before God. Because every one of us should be hearing the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're His children. And if we're His children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And every day of our lives and every night, the Holy Spirit is witnessing to us and encouraging us. You're God's child. And you can say, well, I cussed today. I lost my temper today. I yelled at people on the freeway. I showed them their IQ with my fingers. And God is saying, that doesn't mean that you're not my child. You were just acting like the world. You're still my child. And every child misbehaves. I mean, mine never did, but everybody else's missed. But yeah, yeah. I know I'm lying, and God forgive me. Yes, I've never thought of killing her. Selling her, I thought of several times. But anyway, the point is, nothing we do, nothing we say, nothing we can ever do, nothing we can ever say will ever stop God from loving us and keeping us as His chosen, royal, priesthood, holy nation people. Nothing. You say, what about divorce? What about it? Where is a clause in Scripture that says, divorced people are no longer my people? What if I stole something? Where's that clause? Thieves are no longer my people. Well, I killed somebody. Where does it say that a murderer or somebody accidentally killed someone? I was drinking and I went across the line or whatever it is. Where does it say that you're no longer His people? You see, the point is, God doesn't condone sin, but He loves us as His people. And when we ask Jesus Christ in our heart, where we're chosen, He taps on our heart. He knocks on the door of our heart and says, I chose you. I'm knocking on the door. It's what Jesus said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone will open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. I'll eat with you. In other words, I'll make myself at home in your heart forever and ever. And he's saying, you're going to mess up. If you've done that before, and you repent, I forgive you. As a Christian, if you do something like that and you repent, I forgive you. And I will never excommunicate you, and I will never stop loving you. You are my children. The Holy Spirit is there to bear witness that you're my children, no matter what you've said or done. And you can keep your life confessed. And I'm telling you, God's saying, you're chosen. I chose you. And what does he say? I hold you in the palm of my hand. That's what Jesus said in John 15, and nobody can pluck you out of his hand. You're not going to be lost from God. You say, is this a license to sin? This is a license to live righteous. But no matter how hard we try, we have our moments, don't we? That's why I was sharing with you my fears, my concerns. I don't hide in my life the things I go through, because I feel like if I share it myself, somebody sitting there, you, someone listening to this out there, can say, well, I had fears like that, and if Pastor Tony does, and he's still up there bringing the word, and he came through it, then God can bring me through it. That's why I share that. What my weaknesses are can help you with your weaknesses and become a strength. And my fears now are becoming a strength in my life, because I had to face them. And I had to acknowledge them, and I couldn't be in denial. And I had to see there was a weakness in my life there. To give in to physical pain. I hit the wall. I reached it. And now I know where the enemy can get to me is by something happening to my body. So I know where to look. I know where to guard against. Doesn't mean I can't do it again, but it means I'll sure be on my guard. So what does this say? We're heirs of Christ. We're joint heirs of Christ. And it says if we suffer with him, and we're going to suffer with him in one form or another. That's our identity. It will happen. God's not going to keep you immune from suffering, but when you do, Jesus Christ is right there saying, I know what that feels like. I'm with you, and I'm strengthening you, and you're learning through your suffering. Jesus Christ, it said, learned obedience through what? His suffering. And we learn it. And we learn to yield to God when we hurt. And when things happen to us in our life we can't comprehend, we don't understand, there's Jesus Christ there saying, I got you. I know what this is like. And you're identifying with me. You're growing in me. You're becoming like me. Isn't that great? Not great, huh? Okay, well. It's just stuff we don't think about. So no fear. And when you have fear, you give it to God and you examine it and you say, why am I afraid today? What am I afraid of? Why am I afraid? Fear is not of God. We belong to God and God's going to take care of us. What life throws at us, listen, what anybody or anything does to you, they're doing to God. Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you do it to me also. And you claim that. If somebody's rude and abusive to you, somebody takes advantage of you, you can say, all right, I'm God's child, I'm chosen, I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So whatever you do to me, you're doing to Christ. It's not me you're having a problem with, it's God. I've had people off and on in ministry all these 40 years I've been doing this. Just some people cuss me out, tear into me, do all kinds of things. And I could take that personal, and I used to when I was younger. I don't like it now, but you know what I did learn? Tony, you're not their problem. God is. They have a God problem, and they can't get to God, and you're the closest thing to them. You represent the Lord, so they're going to attack you once in a while. And I used to get mad at the Lord about that and say, this is not fair. And you know what I finally had? I could hear the Holy Spirit in that discernment in my heart. I heard him speaking to me. No, it's not fair, but it's real. It's not fair for somebody to take out their anger at me on you, but they do. That's what I called you to do, to be my representative. You're going to suffer with me or not? Oh, okay. And then, something I'm reminded of, my friend Johnny back there all the time, brought in a message, if it matters to you, it matters to God. If you're worried and you're fearful, if you're back in the corner and you're hitting the wall, and it matters to you, it matters to God. It's been a while since I said that, and he reminds me of it quite often. If it matters to me, it matters to God, and you keep that in mind. If it's bothering you, it's important to him. And he'll help you through it. I got to close. we're hungry, and there's great barbecue and all kinds of stuff back there. So I got to get you to that. But we've got to have our spiritual food. And I just want to say, just go out of here today knowing you're Jesus' special friend. You're Jesus' special friends. He said, I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. That's in John 15:15. I call you friends. You ever think about it? We talk about him being Savior and Lord, but Jesus Christ is your friend. And he said, I don't call you my servant, I call you my friend. For all things I heard from my Father have made known to you. What does that mean? You're a friend of Jesus Christ, and he's here with you, and he lives in you. And he won't stop being with you, and he won't stop living in you. He listens to you. He understands you. He loves you, and he never gives up on you. And I'll tell you something else about your friend Jesus. As your best friend, and he is, he wants the very best for you. So when you get mad near this coming week and you throw a fit and you have a spell or whatever it is that you're going through, if you'll just stop a moment and confess that to God, you will hear his Holy Spirit saying, I love you. I am with you always, even to the end of this age. I forgive you. I'm your friend. I want the very best for you, and you're better than this. You're better than this temper fit. You're better than this anger that you're showing right now. You're better than this insecurity that you're allowing in your life. You're better than this. Why? Because I live in you, and I'm better than this. And if you'll yield those things to the living God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will conquer them in your life. And he will show you, and he'll live out in your life, that you're better than this. Because you're a child of the King, you're chosen, you're a royal priesthood. And I could stay on this whole thing, but let me move to this last point. This is so much here, and I was working over there at the table a while ago thinking, I'm going to run out of time, I got to cut this down a little bit. But I want to give this third thing. You're God's representative. When he calls you a holy people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, you're chosen. What does that mean? Chosen to do what? I'm here to represent God. And so people are looking at all of us. Everything we say and do, and that's scary, represents God. We're here to bear fruit. What did Jesus say to do? He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Teaching them everything. Baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teach them everything I've commanded you. That's what we're all here to do. And we're here to bear fruit. Look at Galatians 5 and memorize it over there in Galatians 5, 22, 23. Look at the spiritual fruit. Not fruits, fruit. That's all one fruit. You know, faith, hope, love, and patience, perseverance, and long-suffering, all that. We're supposed to bear fruit and have that in our lives and let him do it. And guess, friends, this is where I've been pushing Christians. I really have. We're salt and light. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Too many Christians are hiding their light. I've had people say to me, even here recently, I don't let my Christianity really shine out with certain people. And it's like, why don't you? I've had several people say this. And it's like, well, why not? Well, they wouldn't like me. And I want to ask you something. Have you ever been there? You ever been there where you needed and wanted friendship so bad you were willing to compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ so you wouldn't offend somebody? Here's what bothers me about that. That somebody's sure willing to offend me with all their cussing and carrying on and their ugly talk and the things they do. So, you know, why can't I have my Jesus and believe in Christ and bring him into the scene? Why am I afraid of offending somebody that's not afraid of offending me? Ask yourself that. And if that's the kind of friend that you have, you don't have a friend. They're not your friend. Because a friend loves at all times. That's a read Proverbs. And a friend will let you bring your Jesus into that setting. And I want you to know, friends, and I'm maybe it's because I'm older, been through so much in my life. I don't know. Maybe my youngin' back there says you're just cranky. She does. She calls me cranky. Maybe I am. But if somebody in any form says, now, Tony, we'd like for you to come to this, but, you know, we don't want you to be a pastor here. We don't want you to, don't bring that Jesus stuff here. You know what my response is? And I'm plain and clear about it. That's okay. I won't be there. because I'm not leaving Jesus home to keep from offending you. And friends, it's time for every Christian everywhere to stand up and say, God called me to be the salt and the light of this earth, and I will not stop being salt and light no matter what. And maybe it's about time some of us, you know, salt heals. Salt draws poison out. Salt flavors. That's what we're here to do. All that. But you get salt in a wound and it burns like the dickens. And maybe it's time for Christians to stand up and do a little burning out there. Maybe there's some things it's time to put a little Christian salt into and say, and they're going, ouch, 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 with our witness and our lifestyle that's Christian. You know, maybe some people need to have a little burn in their ugliness. And maybe we need to let our light shine just a little brighter and quit covering it up. And no, they can just put on their sunglasses if they don't like the light of the Lord. I'm serious. That little bitty song, and you know, I know everybody, when I try to sing something, everybody goes, oh God, you know. But I still remember that little song, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that? Well, why don't we? Why is it a little light? It's time, man, we just brought a load of salt with our lives, and we're flavoring and we're doing all, but we're also putting a little burn on things. It's time Christians stood up and got out there and mixed it up. And it's time also that little light became a spotlight shining into the darkness out here. And this old world wants to be so dark and they want to hide everything. Well, Christians, if we all get together and really let that light shine, it'll light it all up and people will start seeing the way to Christ. All together, we could make quite a light, couldn't we? We got Christmas coming up pretty soon. We're going to have to talk about that. Christmas is on Sunday. And I don't know how we're going to handle that, but we'll figure that out. But that's not in the message today. But I will tell you this, friends. We are called to be the salt and the light and to bear fruit. And I close with this. By doing that, that means that we're called to bring honor and glory to God through our lifestyle, our words, our actions, through our love, through our fruit that we bear. And that's what this is all about, this whole thing. These are the good things from God. He's called me and you to be His representative, to be His chosen, to be His children, and to be His friends. What else do you want? Amen. Sit back and thank God for a minute that you can just take a breath and have the Holy Spirit, and you can go eat barbecue over here and say, God is good, life is great, and thank you, God, for it all. Use me today, Lord, to bring honor and glory to your precious name. Amen. Amen. Now let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that we have this privilege of being your children, the privilege of being your friends, and the privilege of being your representatives. God, let that little light become a great big spotlight, all of us together, and salt and light and love and power. Thank you, God, that we're chosen by you. You really do love us. God, thank you. Use us to be a blessing to you and bring honor and glory to your name. And use us, God, in Jesus' name to rebuke the enemy and stomp him in the dirt. And Jesus Christ be lifted up as Savior and Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 And I think before we close, Lord, thank you for this food that we're about to have. And we're grateful to everyone that's participated, and Jim for cooking all that barbecue, and to everybody else here for contributing. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. God bless you all.